You'd be hard-pressed to find a house in Australia that doesn't feature hardwood in some way, whether it's a wide veranda, a dresser that might be a piece of furniture, or your floor. But could the all-Aussie veranda and your timber-back deck become a thing of the past? The demand for native hardwoods is surging in Australia, but our domestic supply is stagnant. As Kelly Buchanan reports, that could lead to critical shortages in just a few years' time.
In a small timber mill in southeastern Queensland, Tom Hooper is supervising as four of his staff work to cut hardwood logs harvested from nearby forests. The mill at Dagon is 80 years old and is supplied by native timbers like spotted gum and ironbark, selectively taken from both private and state forests, and it ships products to places like Melbourne and Brisbane. Tom's investing in expanding the mill, despite knowing that under an agreement signed more than 15 years ago, he'll no longer have access to native timber grown in state forests after 2024.
That's always in the back of my mind, that are we going to be operational after this 8 year in state forest. But you know, I truly believe that something will come of it, our resource, into the future. There's a lot of discussion around it at the state level, at the local level. It's obviously a big concern because of our, like, the timber industry is a massive part of the Queensland economy and Australian economy and exported, let alone our local economy. You know, we just hope that they won't deregulate the private sectors and make it so hard for us to operate.
In the past 20 years, the amount of native forest available nationally for timber harvest has declined from 10 million hectares to about 5.5 million. While that decline has largely stabilised with the signing of forestry agreements and investment in about 2 million hectares of plantations, including those caught up in failed managed investment schemes, there have been no new plantations in the past 5 or 6 years. That's despite demand surging, especially as timber producers push the environmental sustainability of their product, both as a renewable resource that's replanted each year and its carbon sequestration credentials. Architect Thomas O'Malley says consumers are becoming more concerned with the provenance of the building products they use.
There's some clients who need it for particular types of certifications that they're obliged to have in terms of ensuring that timber is sustainably procured, whether it comes from overseas or locally. It's the same standards that apply. Other people just want to know that they're getting timber from a local supplier.
But as the gap between supply and demand widens, Australia's importing $5.5 billion worth of wood products a year, and not all of them come from sustainable sources. The Australian industry estimates about $40 million worth of illegal logged timber makes its way to our shores each year. Timber Queensland Chief Executive Mick Stevens says while the imports can't compete with local product quality or ethics, there are few alternatives.
By 2024, I think we'd be really struggling to look at some viable alternatives in terms of domestic production.
His group is working to prevent a sharp decline in supply in 2024 by renegotiating the Queensland agreement that will end logging in Crown forests. At the same time, the state government's rolling out programs to encourage landholders to manage their own private forestry to help make up the difference. Sean Ryan from Private Forestry Services Queensland is running one of those programs, providing extension to graziers considering adding timber to their farm system.
It's clearly going to be dependent on the private native forest resource, and it's extensive, and we've got the opportunity now to invest in that area of management and ensure that at least a significant proportion of that forest is actually working at full production. So we know how we can do it, we know what has to be done, we know how much it's going to cost.
What do we lose if we lose hardwoods?
Well, look around you, I suppose. It's the great Queensland tradition, the timber and tin combination. The featured timbers, the flooring, the external large sector hardwood that has been used so dramatically in architectural design.
He says it's 5 minutes to midnight for hardwood production, and if something isn't done, Australians may have to accept that the timbers that are a feature in many homes and buildings simply won't be available. Architect Thomas O'Malley says that would leave his clients with fewer options and his buildings with much less character.
We've got a lot of really high quality timber available in Queensland, well, Australia-wide generally. A lot of the local timbers have natural rot and termite resistance, and they're also just beautiful timber to work with. The material itself has so much warmth and character to it.
In June, the Forestry Industry Advisory Council, established by the federal government, released a paper that included 19 recommendations to transform the industry, which employs an estimated 120,000 regional Australians. It included a recommendation to expand the forest estate in strategic regional hubs through farm forestry to increase the availability of all timbers. A spokesman from the Department of Agriculture says the government is considering the recommendations and will provide a response in due course.
Kelly Buchanan there with that report. Now, many of the world's so-called benchmark cheese types are made from unpasteurised milk. Think Italy's Parmigiano Reggiano or the French Roquefort. But Australia has always had some of the world's strictest rules for making or selling raw milk cheeses. That changed slightly 18 months ago when the National Food Regulator relaxed those regulations. But production of raw milk cheese hasn't changed all that much. Now, small farmhouse cheesemakers have new software at their disposal, which is going to help them navigate the complex regulatory maze around making these specialty cheeses. Clint Jasper took a look at how it will work, but first, he wanted to find out what all the fuss over raw milk cheese was about.
Experts like the head cheesemonger at Melbourne Spring Street grocer, Victor Personet, say raw milk cheeses have more character.
So when you are pasteurising, you basically kill all the microorganisms inside the milk, so a little bit like his identity, and then you're doing your recipe.
Like some wines, they say when unpasteurised milk is used, the cheese ends up reflecting the region it's produced in.
So it's not a gauge of quality, it's actually a real product with an identity, with what the animal is eating, the climate where the animal was, the cheesemaker as well. So it's all about the terroir.
When you're working in the shop, how much interest is there from consumers? How many come in and ask specifically for raw milk cheeses?
So 70% of our customers are aware about raw milk cheeses, and they want raw milk cheeses. And they don't understand why in Australia we are not allowed to have any raw milk cheeses.
Since a rule change 18 months ago, cheesemakers in Australia have been allowed to produce cheese from unpasteurised milk, but there's been little change in production since. Small farmhouse producers say the release of newly developed software will change that.
A lot of excitement that we're now at the starting post, if you like, for being able to make raw milk cheese. There's still a bit to go, but nevertheless, this is the first real sign that we all know what we're talking about.
The Australian Specialist Cheesemakers Association's Alison Langley says to understand how the decision-making tool works, you need to know a little bit about how food safety regulators view the cheesemaking process. From their point of view, the varying levels of acidity, salt, moisture and lactate will determine the likelihood that dangerous pathogens will be able to live and grow on the cheese. The software lets cheesemakers test their own samples or even virtually play around with the numbers to work out if Food Standards Australia and New Zealand or the various state regulators would give the tick of approval to any cheese they make from raw milk.
It's not possible to be definitive about that because it is a range, but nevertheless, we anticipate you'll be able to make everything from fairly hard, high-acid cheeses like cheddar, but through to some blue cheeses and also some more what we call alpine-style cheeses, which are semi-hard, often with a bit of age on them, and are really sort of high-flavour cheeses in the European style. We won't, however, be able to make really soft cheeses like camembert and those sorts of very soft cheeses.
The software, developed jointly by the University of Tasmania and Dairy Food Safety Victoria, even gave the green light to an imported Swiss raclette, something many in the industry would have never attempted to make. Seeing those results got the imagination of Holy Goat cheese proprietor Carla Mers running wild.
And we tasted and said, oh, God, that's such a great cheese. And then we all said, oh, let's send it off for testing with these four parameters. And our relationship has been terrific with the regulators. So we sent them the results. I shared them and said, go on, pop it in the tool you've got, see how it comes up. And it was very exciting because surprisingly, this cheese came within the parameters, even though the pH, NPH was quite high. Another component, lactate, was also very high. And it completely was a yes. You can make a cheese like that, which that's a gorgeous cheese. And it's sort of like saying, well, there's the bar. Just see if you can do that in Australia. And that was very exciting.
Alison Langley says it's a market that will be difficult for big dairy processors to enter, leaving it wide open for smaller players.
You have to have top quality milk to make raw milk cheese, and you can't have milk that's just been sitting around for a long time. It's very different to drinking milk that is in pasteurised form. So that means that it will be easier, not necessarily just for farmhouse cheesemakers, but farmhouse cheesemakers who have their own herd of animals, cows, goats, sheep, because they control the quality of the milk, they have a better chance at making raw milk cheese than large industrial producers who have to buy in milk from different sources, which is not to say that the industrial cheesemakers can't take advantage of this, but it will just be a bit harder for them to do so.
Holy Goat Cheese's Carla Mers is keen to get down to business.
If you think of the beer industry, the wine industry, I hope this is the moment for the cheese industry. We're really going to bring great diversity back to the milk because we can leave out the pasteurisation step. We'll represent our terroir fantastically, our milk quality fantastically, and I hope it's a really great, you know, the spring of cheese, really. Yeah.
And because this is cheese you're not going to see on the supermarket shelves, will the importance of farmers markets and specialty cheese shops, will that be the main point of education for consumers who aren't actively seeking it out?
Yes, I think it's the specialty cheese mongers, and there's lots of them and some really great people in that space. The farmers markets in Victoria are brilliant for everyone, anyone really bringing a new product to market. And then it's the world of the chefs, and that's a great space too because, you know, they're all over wine. Everyone's got their beer working well, and it'll be chefs want really high quality Australian cheese, and they'll back it. So everyone will be happy, I hope.
And when will we see Holy Goat's first raw cheese, and what might that look like?
I have to think about that. We would have that cheese in the market, I'm going to say, by March next year.
And deadline for you.
That's it. It's on now.
And that's Victorian cheesemaker Carla Mers ending that report from Clint Jasper. Well, messages about your health can be pretty dull. Things like get your skin checked or have your blood pressure taken or visit the doctor more regularly or stop eating so much fatty food. But in Yinnar South in Victoria, there's a farming family working hard to create some, shall we say, eye-catching health messages, all in the name of breast cancer awareness. Bridget Fitzgerald hit the road to check it out.
To my left, there is a lovely grassy green paddock. And just on the edge of the paddock, I can see some pink-wrapped silage, and it's got a big sign written on that silage which says check your boobs. I'm just driving up the road to go and meet the farmer responsible. Hello. What's your name?
Tammy Pettigrew. We're on our family property at Yinnar South.
And Tammy, as I was driving here, I kind of turned a corner and I was trying to figure out where I was and get my bearings, and I looked up and I saw some bright pink wrapped silage with check your boobs, and the boobs were two little circles with little nipples, and I must say it immediately got my attention. Can you tell me, as I understand, that's your doing?
Yes. They've gone a bit saggy, haven't they?
They've drooped in the sun a bit.
The mailman told Dad that they'd sagged a bit. And someone else said they were lopsided now, so.
I think it was a bit lopsided. I think maybe the left one has drooped a bit.
Yes.
And so tell me, what was it that has made you do that? Because as I understand, it's not the only one.
No, we've got three on the property. There's a couple more to see when you're driving around. My mum had breast cancer last year, so my brother organise the pink wrap, which it is a little bit more expensive, but a donation goes to help with the breast cancer awareness, so that's why we thought we'd better make it aware.
And why combine the message as well? Because I have driven around the place and seen the pink wrap for the breast cancer and the McGrath Foundation, and the blue wrap as well, which I thought was mental health, but you've just told me is for prostate.
Yes.
Why go that extra step, though, and have written messages on your bales?
Because the general public don't realise that that's what the pink bales represent. And when my daughter posted her first message on Facebook, people were saying, oh, that's why they're pink. So, it really showed us that it needed to be written for people to realise that's what they're for.
So tell me, what are some of the messages you've got around the place?
Our first one was be breast aware. Then we put up check your boobs. And my favourite is save a life, grope your wife. But we had to put that one sort of on the dirt road down by the creek because I was a bit concerned about the school bus driving past.
You might have some people.
I might have some complaints.
ringing in from the parents.
Yes.
And Tammy, you have mentioned, you know, this is, done by your family for your mum. Tell me, what does it mean for your family to be able to tell other people to be aware of this?
It's saving somebody's life. Everybody has a mother. And really, early detection is the best. So I'm just hoping that somebody will read it and realise I need that mammogram. Because a lot of people don't realise too that once you turn 40, mammograms are free. But breast screen don't contact you until you're 50.
So you can actually get onto it quite early.
Yes. Yep. I just had mine last week. I recently turned 40, so I went. It's all free. Once you're 40, it's free.
So your mum, how is she at the moment?
She's really well, thank you. Yep. She's having 6 monthly checks, but doing well.
And I guess that goes to show, as you were explaining to me earlier, she did get it early.
Correct. Yep. She did a routine mammogram, picked up a very small lump, which they were able to get early.
And that's Yinar South dairy farmer Tammy Pettigrew, and the number 132050, that's Breast Screen Australia. Just book yourself an appointment. The fabulous Bridget Fitzgerald with that story. And you can check out a picture of our pink silage bales with their breast cancer message. Just head to the RN homepage and find A Country Breakfast. A big thanks to Oren Gerassi for technical production. I'm Edwina Farley. Hope you've enjoyed the show this week. Lots of great listening ahead on RN.